Let us think a little together about that strange story that was our first reading. Jacob's night spent wrestling with a human being, an angel, God himself, by the bank of the river Jabbok. You have to remember the backstory. Jacob is one of two twins, the younger of the twins. There's him and there's his elder brother by a few minutes, Esau. They are non-identical twins. You'll recall that they are very non-identical twins because my brother Esau is an hairy man, but I am a smooth man. And they suffer, the two twins, a psychological disaster in their upbringing because father so clearly favours Esau and mother so clearly favours Jacob. So whatever natural sibling rivalry there was between them was greatly exacerbated by the way in which they were nurtured and brought up. And then comes that time when Jacob and his mother conspire between them to trick Esau out of his birthright as the elder brother. And we're told in the text of Genesis not simply that Esau was filled with anger and resentment about this, but that he was filled with murderous intent. Jacob, as a very young man, has to clear out and to make his fortune elsewhere. But family does not go away. Jacob realizes that he needs to meet his older brother and they need to have this out between them. And so he returns from the land of Laban back towards his ancestral home country, there to have the fateful encounter with Esau. And what will it be? Will it be a showdown? Will it be a reconciliation? Jacob does not know. He's clearly very anxious about it. He divides his company into two groups and sends them by separate routes ahead so that if there is an ambush or a sudden attack, only half of what he owns will be destroyed. And then just before he, with his immediate family, crosses the Jabbok into the territory of meeting, he has this experience, this dream, this event happens to him. It's clearly related to his intense tension about what's coming. These verses of Genesis absolutely crackle with tension. It's clearly related to that. But what's it really fundamentally about? It's a puzzling story, so puzzling that I thought I would look for illumination where I normally find it in the early Christian commentators. So I looked up Augustine on it, and you know, Augustine is absolutely no use at all. Complete dead loss on this particular episode. It turns out that there's a tradition of early Christian commentary that read the story allegorically like this. You have striven with God and man and you have prevailed. What's this God and man? That's obviously Jesus, human and divine. So this is Jacob, or the Jews, striving with Jesus, wrestling with Jesus and apparently prevailing because they crucify him. But he's back after 3 days, and they've not really won at all. That's so unsatisfactory, one hardly knows where to start. If that's to work as an allegory, then the angel needs to come back for a return bout after 3 days and defeat Jacob. And Augustine's obviously buying into an early Christian narrative, which causes us considerable remorse in our own generation, which blamed the Jews as a people for the death of Jesus. Well, it wasn't the Jews at all, inasmuch as there was formal responsibility for the death of Jesus. It belongs with the Romans who crucified him, inasmuch as Jesus was set up for his crucifixion. Indeed, there are Jewish religious leaders involved, but that's not surprising, since this is an action that all happens with Jews among Jews and in the Jewish homeland, so one might expect that. It's not their Jewishness that's at stake. In terms of understanding the crucifixion, it's their position as leaders in society. And that's at stake.